Hey, you did it.
I think we're good. All right, so thanks for your patience, folks. Welcome here once again. I'd love to get started just with some brief introductions. We do have a lot to cover tonight, so if we can keep this brief, that would be helpful. But let's go around, and I'd love to hear from everyone your name, who your son is that you are considering for the rite of passage, where you're calling from, and one word of gratitude, something that you're grateful for tonight. And I'll start. So you all know me. I'm Tim. I don't have a son I'm considering for the rite of passage, but I do have two boys, River and Forrest, who before long will be ready for theirs. And I'm in Sandpoint, Idaho. And tonight I am grateful for community. And so we can just go ahead and jump in when you're ready, and we'll hear from everyone.
My name is Sally, and I have a 12-year-old named Clover. He's in middle school. Tonight, I am super grateful. We have not even approached twilight yet.
Amen, sister.
Hi, my name is Zachary. I'm Clover's father. I'm very grateful that so far he has grown up to be a very loving child and has stayed out of trouble as much as he can at this age going into puberty. So I'm really excited for him to do this program.
My name is Siri, and I have Elijah, who's 15, and I am in Bozeman, Montana, and I'm grateful for days off at home.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Rachel. I am Keenan's mom. I'm here in Moscow, Idaho, and Keenan is 13, and boy, I'm grateful for community, and particularly in this moment, I'm grateful for Tim and Janine and Twin Eagles and everything that they have brought to our lives as family.
Hi, my name is Scott, and I'm Connell's dad, and I'm calling from Seattle, and I am grateful for my son, and also for it's been a rather beautiful day, sunny day here. So,
this is Chris calling from Moscow, Idaho, and I'm Keenan's dad, and I'm grateful for a beautiful sunset today.
This is Joshua. I'm calling from San Juan Island, and I do not have any sons of my own, but I mentor and work with a lot of youth and been part of Twin Eagles here since 2005, and I am grateful for my body.
I suppose I forgot to have mentioned, this is Sally Clover. Parents, both of us are located in Spokane, Washington, on opposite ends of town.
Great. Welcome.
Thank you, Sally.
Well,
okay, if we
can.
Yeah, Ken, go ahead.
Yes, Ken Fishman, and I live in Sandpoint. And I'm on the Elder Council of Twin Eagles. I don't have any sons that I can put through this ritual since they're both in their 50s. So you can do the math and you understand why I'm on the Elder Council. And I've known him for a long time and have been an admirer and a part of Twin Eagles. I feel lucky to be able to participate. And I'm grateful for community and friends.
Thank you, Ken. Okay, is that everyone, or have we missed anyone? All right, I think that's everybody. So, thank you all again. Welcome here, and I do want to mention we may have a couple people arriving late. I have invited two parents whose sons have gone through this rite of passage in previous years. That's Maggie Dale, whose son in Spokane, whose son Benno went through this, 4 years ago. And Ethan Angel and his sons, Kaylin and Oscar, have both gone through the rite of passage 3 years ago and 5 years ago. So that they should be joining us a little bit later. And I really appreciate everyone's time again. And especially, I want to put a special thank you out there to you, Ken, representing our Council of Elders here at Twin Eagles, a group that has served the school that you may or may not be aware of really since the beginning. And so I'm going to have Ken share a little bit later, but really appreciate you being here with us tonight, Ken.
Thank you.
Good. Okay. Well, let's jump in. So I'd like to start off just by naming the intentions for this call, why we're having this call. So first and foremost is really to send you as parents a very clear signal that this rite of passage is not a normal Twin Eagles program. It's not a summer camp. It is not a teen weekend or a teen intensive. It's not a normal program. It's really something much more significant. And so to change the structure right from the beginning is a helpful signal to all of us that this is different. So it's an opportunity for us to slow down. And goodness knows I need that as much as anyone else. I don't know how anyone else's lives are these days, but boy, oh boy, mine is full. With two kids and a wife and school and, oh my gosh, you know, it's just nonstop.
Yep.
And to sort of slow down and take some time to be present with even the possibility of your sons moving through this transition. That's important. That's important. And one of my pet peeves is you know what I like to call the McDonald's mentality of our modern culture, that we all, you know, we have this consumerist culture that patterns us on consuming and getting what we want immediately and fast and faster. And why hasn't my Facebook notification dinged me yet? You know, it was late by 2 microseconds. That's too much for me to handle. Our world just gets increasingly faster. And so with the deep work, and, you know, you guys all know Twin Eagles, we already tend to run deep, but with the rite of passage, that's particularly so. It's a particularly deep experience. And so the deeper the work is, the more it asks us to slow down and to return to a pace more similar to how nature is operating. Spring is in no rush to get here. What's the old Lao Tzu quote from the Tao Te Ching? Nature never hurries, and yet everything is accomplished. Nature never hurries, yet everything is accomplished. So it's an invitation. We will be covering, you know, various bits of information and data points, and that's all important. But at least as important as the data, if not more, is your quality of presence, and my quality of presence, and our collective quality of presence, that we can slow down, connect, come together, and see what we can do to support your sons right now at this very important and rare time. You know, they are in a window of transition, leaving behind boyhood, entering into adolescence. And this only comes once. It'll come, and then it'll go, and that will be it. And if it, and it'll either have been met or not. And they'll survive either way. But it, how we, as their community, I've certainly found this over 20 years of mentoring and facilitating rites of passage and initiations, is that how we, as their adult community, show up or don't show up will absolutely impact their lives. So, really grateful to have this time. And, you know, I suppose another intention here is really from my heart to yours, and from one parent to another parent, is this request and this opportunity, this possibility that I'm presenting and that Josh is presenting, of, hey, would you consider opening up your hearts a little deeper and allowing us in to support your son through this transition? Because it will be an intimate experience. And it's a responsibility. I don't take it lightly. And it's something that, for me, needs to start with a sense of partnership between myself as a mentor and you all as parents. So hopefully I'll be able to convey that with a little more depth than just that single sentence. But that is one of the big intentions for being here. Okay? So we're going to cover a number of different points. We'll have a question and answer time at the end, and you're welcome to ask questions as we go. I would just ask you to keep them on topic. You know, I do have a list of various points I'm going to cover. So if you have a question about a point that I haven't covered yet, you can just hold tight. Chances are I'll cover that. If I haven't, please chime in at the end. I do want to hear all your questions. But if I'm covering a certain topic, please do chime in. And let me know if you've got questions. Does that sound good?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks, Tim.
Great.
Yes.
Good. Yeah, and if you know, I've got a lot to share. I have a lot of passion about this. So feel free to jump in and interrupt me, especially if you have an important question that's on task. Don't feel like you're stepping on my toes, because I will just keep going and going. So. So you're welcome to jump in. Now, I did get it. I did send out the welcome letter, which was kind of like a general overview of what I'm going to be covering in tonight's call, in the form of, I sent that out as a PDF. I don't know. I think it was yesterday morning. Did anyone by chance read that? And it's totally fine if you did or if you did not. But just curious, did anybody get a chance to read that or even skim that?
Clover's father and I read and discussed it.
Great. Yeah. Okay. Sally and Zachary.
And I read it.
Siri, great. Okay. The other point that's worth mentioning is some of you were considering this experience for your sons last year, I think. Is that the case for anyone here?
Chris and I were considering it. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, Rachel and Chris, you were considering it for Keenan last year.
For Avery.
Oh, for Avery last year, excuse me, yes.
Well, and I think it was 2 years ago, and we ended up not doing it, and I do regret that, actually, so.
Okay.
I know Clover Janine was mentioned very excited it. About it last summer, so.
Clover was excited about it last summer. Yeah.
Yeah, Janine right. mentioned it in the summer of 2016, actually. Clover's... Maybe large, maybe a little on the emotionally advanced side of things.
Yeah. Okay, good. Good, yeah. So we do have, just so everyone's aware, you know, I do run this annually. And this is, I think, our sixth year of running it here at Twin Eagles. Prior to that, I ran Rites of Passages years ago when I did my early training back in Vermont with Mark Morey in the Vermont Wilderness School, and I've run spiritual wilderness initiations elsewhere also. So, you know, the case for a lot of parents, oftentimes they might come in, even do this phone call, and then choose to wait a year, feeling like, you know, for whatever reasons that they want to wait. Also sometimes as Rachel mentioned sometimes families have, you know, multiple boys, so the older one does it, and then they come back a couple years later. We do have, I think, at least four or five other families who are seriously considering this rite of passage this year. And I'll just mention their names, because they may be listening in on this recording, so we'll send a greeting. So who do we have? We have Ashley Martins, her husband Noel, and their son Oliver. They're over in Bozeman, Montana. We have Mike and Lottie Forbes and their son Rennie. Their older son, Owen, did the rite of passage, I think, 2-3 years ago. We have Judy Soboloff and Fred Geitz. Their son, Benji, is considering it for... they considered it last year, and I think they're pretty clear on they want him to do it this year. We have Amy and Ty Barberry in Spokane. Their son, Noah, they considered it last year and are considering it again this year. And then we have Pauline Riley and Steve Horst and their son Zane. Also, they considered it last year and did not do it. So I think they're pretty serious about their consideration of it for this year. So hello to all of you listening to this recording. You're here in our hearts and with our group. Good. All right. So I want to share, you know, on really two fronts tonight. One is to share the vision of this experience with you all and really support you to make a connection to the vision. And then two, and I would say less important, is to share about the specific details. Now, yes, of course, you got to know the dates and you got to know the logistics, and of course, you know, we need all that. But I do want to offer this, you know, to you now and say, invite you to consider that connecting with the vision and the essence of this program is in the heart, you know, is more important than the details, right? And that's part of the slowing down, is to put our busy minds down and just open ourselves up a little bit and consider what this could really mean. So I want to actually start by just defining what I mean when I say rite of passage, because that's a term that different people use differently. For me, I define a rite of passage in a pretty traditional, classical manner, in that it's an event, a ceremonial event, that marks the transition from one life phase to another. An event that marks the transition from one life phase to another. So examples would be like birth, you know, entering into middle childhood, entering into adolescence, entering into adulthood, becoming a parent, or getting married, and becoming an elder, and then death. So right there, that's what, like 6 major life phases that we could generally apply to any human being. And your son is at one of those. I do like to differentiate rite of passage from an initiation. And a rite of passage is a very specific type of initiation. An initiation is really an event that marks the transition of a significant event in one's life, but not necessarily a significant phase change, right? So we might go through many initiations in life, significant events that have a deep psycho-spiritual emotional impact on us, but really the amount of rites of passages we go through, or major transitions through major life phases, they're pretty few and far between. And I like that definition because it helps contextualize the significance of this time, right? So that's some of the basics, right? This rite of passage is one that will be marking the leaving behind of boyhood and the entering into adolescence. So this is not a rite of passage into adulthood, and I'm really clear about that. You know, there's this whole phase between boyhood and, for these guys, manhood of being an adolescent. And we use the term young man to differentiate. So for those who have gone through the rites of passage, we refer to them as young men. I don't refer to them as boys, and I don't refer to them as men. And that's very conscious to help mark that and to help remind them and to help remind us as a community. You know, traditionally, so I think we're all pretty familiar with this idea that our culture has largely lost our rituals and our ceremonies and our rites of passage. And, you know, lots of people talk about that. That's a pretty common understanding. And yet there's, pretty few organizations or individuals or groups consciously working on really bringing something like this back. And this, you know, when we look at the old cultures, we see that this was seen as essential to their ongoing health of the individuals, the families, and the community. And, people, I wrote this in the letter, you know, people consider a rite of passage is to a community in the same way that an arm is to the human body. It's a natural extension that's inherent to the basic functioning of the whole. And we're going to get into a little bit later about, well, gosh, what really happens? You know, I think there's this kind of a mainstream, you know, sentiment and light understanding of, well, what happens when we lose rites of passage. But the reality is we've all largely grown up in this society that has not had those rites of passage. And that's still the mainstream. And so our work here then is a little bit like a salmon swimming upstream. And this does take a fair bit of effort. Of everything I do in the year, this takes, you know, some of the most significant effort that I put out is for this very experience. And part of the reason it takes so much effort, you know, it's a different thing than running a summer camp. I can't just go pump it out there and get hundreds of kids going through this, because it's a deeper experience. And just like anything, what we put into is what we get out of it. So we put a lot of effort into this, and the rewards are great, especially for the young men, for the boys, the initiates. But it is, we are going against the stream, the current of mainstream society in bringing this back. And thankfully, more and more people are open to this and supportive of it. And yet, there's lots of elements that where there is a bit of a rub. And so we'll be discussing that. For me, you know, well, actually, okay, I think I want to pause there. That's probably a good segue. Josh, I don't know if you're open to this. Would you be up for just sharing a little bit about, from a personal perspective for you, about why this is important for you and why you're choosing in to give of your time and energy to this and why you have in the past?
Yeah, sure, Tim. Well, I think one of the number one things for me was, as a young boy and a teenager, was realizing that I was craving this on a deep level that at that time I didn't really know what was going on. I think about those times in my life, depressed, angry, all kinds of different things, trying to make sense of what was going on. There's a physicality going on going into adolescence. And so there was a deep longing, I think, for myself at that time in my life. And with that feeling, I got into, you know, mentoring and doing these things and seeing, even as an adult now, I think about looking around me and I see a bunch of 60-year-old adolescents around me or young boys, just in thinking of how a lot of people in our culture act and the people that are around me. And so I feel on a deep level of what I think is a necessity of needing to bring this back and needing to wanting for myself to bring this back into our culture. And, you know, I've been going on, this is, 13, 14 years now of mentoring youth. And last year was the first year that I did the Boys Rite of Passage, and I have to say it was the most rewarding thing that I've ever done in mentoring with youth. And tears in my eye and the joy and to see mm-hmm. Watch these young boys come in and walk out as young men, and literally just really watching them in a sense transform right before my eyes. And some of them I didn't even know before the weekend, and some of them I've known for 7-8 years. And for me, it was just like, you know, I made that commitment then. It was like, yeah, Tim, I will be here the next 5 years helping you with this, and let's mm-hmm. do this. So that's wow. my personal, I can go in a lot more, but that's the brief of it there. So
beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that, Josh.
No, you're welcome.
Hi, I just wanted to hop in. This is Maggie, and I just got on.
Hi, Maggie. Welcome.
Hi, Maggie.
Here.
Welcome.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
We've got 8 or 9 people here then, including Josh, myself. We've got mm-hmm. Ken Fishman from the Elders Council, and then we have, I don't know, 5 or 6 parents who mm-hmm. are all here considering their sons for this year's rite of passage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maggie, we started earlier just by sharing our name, who our son is, who's considering the rite of passage. For you, it would be your son who's done the rite of passage location. Mm-hmm. And then one point of gratitude for you. Would you like to share? Just
sure. Oh, my gosh. Just so, my name is Maggie. Yeah, that's okay. Maggie Dale, and I'm from Spokane. And my son was Benno, and he's now 18. And he was in, actually, the first round of Rite of Passage boys,
first round.
Young men that Tim worked with, Tim and his crew worked with.
Yeah.
A point of gratitude. Tonight I'm so grateful for the setting sun.
Mm.
Is that okay?
Love it. Yeah, that's hard to believe. I still remember sitting with Benno on his solo.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe that was 5 years ago. It'll almost be 6 years.
Yeah.
So really, really thankful to have you. And at some point, maybe a little later, I'd love to call on you, Maggie, just to share from your perspective now on the other side, 5 years later. Now what you see as the value, right? We have a different perspective when we're at different points on the journey. So
Right.
A little bit later, we'll maybe call on you there. Well, good. Mm-hmm. So I want to name what I see in a clear and an organized fashion, what the benefits are to you all as parents. And I've taken some time to develop this really through the years. These are the benefits to you as parents, to your family, and to the community. One, to receive support for your son to consciously step out of boyhood and step into adolescence. Receive support to raise your son to live a life of positive moral values. Receiving support in raising your son to develop masculine emotional maturity. And what I mean by that is the ability to be aware of his emotions, anger, sadness, shame, guilt, joy, to be able to speak those and own those. Which, if you don't know, is a huge part of being a healthy adult, which, of course, you know that. Not an easy thing for us guys. Not an easy thing for us guys who are still raised in this, society that says real men don't feel and can't cry.
Right. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And yes, we're seeing change.
Amen, indeed.
But I'll tell you what, that one right there takes a lot of practice. And again, mm-hmm. it's the salmon swimming upstream. And what are the? You can see I get real passionate about this one. What the boys need is role models. They need to see men in their lives feeling
right.
and expressing those feelings in a healthy way that's not destructive. And they need to see them Woo! Express the full range of feelings
mm-hmm.
so that they know it's okay for them, because the feelings are happening one way or the other, spoken or unspoken, they are there. I promise you that. And you know this, or we all know this. The question is, what's their relationship to them? And do they have a cultural model, a cultural support, where it's safe to express them? So, and then, of course, we could get into all kinds of weird things that happen to us human beings when we don't express our emotions and the many crazy ways we deal with that, some that become, of course, very, very destructive, as I'm sure you all know about. So I'm going to step off that high horse for just a moment. I was attempting to go through the benefits of the rite of passage. So to develop masculine emotional maturity and authentic self-awareness, it's an opportunity for your sons to develop self-confidence and experience themselves as more capable than they currently believe themselves to be. Wherever they're at, this is explicitly designed to develop their self-confidence. One of the major ways we do that is by giving them healthy challenges that take them to their edge and get them to that point where they're like, whoa, this is a lot. I don't know if I can do this or not. But we measure, dial that very carefully, and then support them so that they do indeed move through that. And as they face that new challenge at a level of which they haven't done before, that's when that new sense of self emerges. Oh, I did that. And they gain that confidence, not because someone patted them on the shoulder or told them they're a good boy or a good young man, but because they faced a great challenge and overcame it. Which we know, that's how real self-confidence is built, by facing challenges successfully. So our role as guides is to provide like a minimal level of support, to provide the challenge and a minimal level of support so that they can own that experience and that victory as much as possible. So that's a huge one. This proactively addresses conflict and pushback. I don't know if anybody out there is getting pushing back and conflict in the home, but right, yeah, you're laughing.
Oh, I remember that.
So it's, you know, it's so common.
I just can't laugh about it. It's hard.
yeah. So it's so common in our culture, but I do want to say, you know, one of my passions through the years has been working with indigenous communities. And I'll tell you what, about once a month, I'm up in Wellpinit, Washington, north of Spokane, with my good friend, Barry Moses, and his whole family. And this really is true. It might be hard to believe, but the teens in that community who are practicing their traditional spiritual ways, which includes rites of passage, have very, very low, there's very, very little conflict and pushback. Mm. And I've had extensive conversations with Barry and his uncles about this. Because, you know, I mean, they still live in the modern world. I mean, they have their practices. But much of that is attributed to their full needs as teenagers being met. Mm. So my theory, and I feel strongly about this, and admittedly, I'm very biased, but my theory and my offering is this. Most teens in modern America have significant needs that are still going unmet in 2018.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yep. This rite of passage meets those needs in a way that, unfortunately, is still very rare. So one of the impacts of that is the deeper that's met, then the less internal upset they feel. And Josh was speaking to that, right? Oh, are we still there?
Someone here?
I am.
Okay.
We're good.
I'm here.
Okay. I had a little bleep there. So another significant point I should address is that this is designed to support your sons to be able to face and step towards the difficult challenges of life as opposed to resisting them. So this is in the safety of this rite of passage. They will live out edge experiences and choices that will prepare them for the challenges of adolescence and their adult life. And that's one of the big things generally speaking, that we value at Twin Eagles, but certainly that the rites of passage are really designed for. You know, the fact is, life is full of challenges. As much as we might want to think or hope otherwise, it is. It's full of challenges. Mm-hmm. If we're not being trained consciously to face challenges with grace and tact and strength, then when the challenges come, they're that much harder. And so this is designed to support them to step towards those challenges and embrace them as opposed to resist them. And lastly, and, you know, depending on your perspective, you might consider this the most important. This rite of passage is really designed to connect them really with their very soul as they ask the deep questions of, who am I? Why am I here? What is my essence? What are my gifts? What are my responsibilities to my family, to my community, to this world? And ultimately, this is a stepping stone towards them living a fully purposeful life, a full life on purpose, where they have a clear sense of purpose and understanding of themselves on that level. So that's what I've come up with. you know, we're still just kind of getting rolling, but I'd love to actually pause here and just hear from even a couple parents. What is it for you so far, maybe just during this phone call or maybe before this phone call, what is it for you all that you connect with when it comes to the benefits of this experience? Why are you considering this? What's in it for you? Why do you feel like this could be important in your son's life?
So I'll speak as Clover's mom. On his 11th birthday, he cried because he was grieving something that he felt as an acute loss, which I think is part of the more childish aspects of youth and things like that. I just see him being really aware. I see him expressing all of those emotions, and I see him not having support in the greater community for doing so. Certainly his father, myself, our immediate, our chosen community, our family, attempts to provide that support, but I feel like I'm falling short. I feel as his mother, in a lot of cases, I'm just simply the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the ownership piece, you know? There's one thing to be aware of what you're feeling and to express it in a healthy way, but to be able to own it and say, it's kind of what brings that ownership piece, I think, is what translates to that ability to embrace and act on it or not act on it when appropriate. As you were saying. So, I mean, I just see him struggling through this so much and want him to have these tools. And as an individual, I still struggle with knowing what my real, true purpose and gifts are. And if there is anything I can do to help him to know that for himself, I want to do that, and I think this program can definitely help for him to learn how to tap into that and to continue to develop it.
Beautiful. Mm. Thank you, Sally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree 100%, Sally. I think he's struggling internally. He's a very smart child. He just doesn't know how to express it until the very last second, and I think he just needs to have that little extra push so he can understand better what he's thinking and be able to express it better outside to everybody else.
The confidence piece, yeah.
Yeah. Great. Anyone else like to share?
Kim, it's Rachel. It's Keenan's mom.
Sure.
I would just add to that. Well, I wouldn't even add. I would just say that I guess what comes up for me in your question is just this sense of awareness of the magnitude of that transition from childhood to adolescence.
Yeah.
And how easy it is for that to slip by so quickly.
Right.
And that you all have somehow rekindled something that's very ancient and primal to humanity in a container and a ritual that really allows the youth to, and their families to really acknowledge the magnitude of that transition. I just am really grateful for that, and really that's why I'm on the call. I'm excited to, and it's like what Clover's mom said, just really wanting to support my son and my older son too, who didn't get to do this, but to provide that access to that really amazing container you all are creating to acknowledge the vast richness of this transition, and any life transition really, but this is one of them, and I'm really grateful for you all for manifesting this.
That's great. Thanks, Rachel. Great, great. Well, I want to keep rolling, and we'll have time for others to share. I can't believe the time. It's already like almost 8 o'clock, so I do want to keep rolling here. Really appreciate those perspectives, Sally, Zachary, and Rachel. Thank you. Okay, good. So we're covering some great ground. You know, it's been said by, in my early years of training, I remember one of my elders, Gilbert Walking Bull, who was a traditional healer, spiritual healer from the Lakota tribe, he would always talk about how one of the biggest differences he notices between, because he was raised traditionally, between traditional earth-based culture and the modern experience was our lack of attention to transitions, which you were just mentioning, Rachel. And he would speak about that in big ways and in small ways. And he had a lot to say about the impacts of that. And that's part that ties right in with our very fast-paced culture that's, you know, only increasing with smartphones and, you know, Facebook and the whole thing. A simple exercise we do that's actually very profound is taking time where they get to actually look back at their lives thus far, ideally with your support. And if you choose into this, there's an activity I have you do, actually writing their life story in a letter form and then sending that to them, and they open that up when they're in their solo. But they take time to look back on their own lives thus far, their childhood, and be able to complete what was incomplete, be able to harvest the best parts of it, the parts they'll cherish for their whole lives, and be able to set down, you know, like we talk, some elements, like we talk about the difference between childish and childlike. What are those childish qualities that you're setting down now? What are those childlike qualities that you'll cherish? You know, it's like a great timeout in life where they get to pause, hit the pause button, step back, see themselves. Right, which is a great practice. All the great spiritual traditions always speak about this. See yourself. You know, that came to me in a 4-day vision quest once. That message, see yourself. You know, can you pause and pull back and really see how you fit into this great puzzle called life? See what your gifts are, what your strengths are, what your challenges are. What your, you know, how you can really best play your part. There's certainly lots of stories through the years now of boys who I've mentored, you know, for years and years, some of whom, you know, really went through this and just shined I mean, and I'll refrain from sharing names, but, you know, I'm thinking of one individual who's now 16 that was with us from the very beginning, since he was like three. And, you know, he went on his rite of passage. His mom and dad were very supportive. Mom was actually, it was hard for her. She was actually pretty attached, and it was, she reported a lot of difficulty releasing her son as a boy. Understandably, right? Like, I mean, this is your son we're talking about. Most cases came from your body, unless we've got some adoptees here. But even then, you've given your blood, sweat, and tears to for 12, 13, 14, 15 years. And what does that mean, like, to not have a son as a boy anymore? And my boys are 8 and 11. I can't really imagine it yet, to be honest with you. Like, I just can't grok it. But I know that time's going to come when I'm going to have to let go. And for sure, we know that not all parents do that, you know. Anyway, so in this one instance, she had a really hard time letting go, but she was able to. And there was a lot of tears and everything else. And he successfully moved through that. He had a big challenge to face, but he faced it with some support. And he came through that other side. And he conducted his giveaway, which I'll talk about in a minute. That's kind of the final element of the rite of passage. And he brought us all together at the giveaway. You know, it wasn't a huge amount. It was 15 of us, which is like a closing element that the young men at that point hold. And they bring together their family and the community and just important people in their life as a way of saying thank you. And they prepare a meal and they prepare some gifts. And in this one instance, the young man did this, you know, and as he spoke one by one to the various individuals who were there, friends and mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and teachers and community members, he really was able to access his heart and open that up. And it touched something so deep in the group. And we had, you know, we had elders and I mean, we were all in tears, you know. Of course, I'm always the first one in tears because I wear my heart on my sleeve. Ridiculously sensitive man, but which is a total blessing and curse all at the same time. But you know, but he touched something deep, and he had that experience. He went out into the wilderness to let the boy die and to let the young man be born, and he brought back a gift, you know, and then was able to share that with the community. And yes, the rite of passage is for the young man, but it's at least as much also for the community at large. Yeah. And when we support our young people to go out like this, face themselves, face these challenges, come back, gain wisdom, gain gifts, when we acknowledge boys who have faced their fears through initiation like this, we really give them the basis for an adult life of courage, responsibility, joy, abundance, and peace. And now, a few years later, this young man he serves as an MIT, a mentor in training. If I said his name, a lot of you would actually know him. And I consistently get, especially the new parents, the new moms actually at like summer camps, will always come up, gosh, so-and-so is so impressive. Is he really only 15 years old? Yeah. And where did you find him? They always say, you know, he's so charismatic. He cares so much. He's attentive. He's like, I just don't know any teenagers like this. You know, a lot of you guys talk that way even at teen camp. And to the new parents, I always tell them, I'm like, look, you don't understand. Like, it's not like I got lucky and found this guy somewhere. He's that way because he went through a process. You know, that's what good mentoring produces. And that's available to all of us.
Good mentoring leads to good men.
There we go. And good women.
Yeah, I like it. I like that.
Hey, good mentoring leads to good men. Maybe we should just use that as our motto for the millennials.
Go right ahead.
Was that Rachel?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it was universal consciousness, Tim. That was just
universal consciousness. Boom. Good mentoring leads to good men. I love it. Did we just have somebody else join us?
This is Chris. I got bumped off because I'm house sitting with a rechargeable phone that will not let you call and charge at the same time.
Okay, no problem.
And so I'm with you. I'm with you until I say goodbye unexpectedly.
Okay. Well, welcome back.
Well, thank you.
Good, good. So I want to share a few more points here, and then we'll start shifting gears. You know, it's worthwhile talking a little bit, too, about just the reality of our Western culture and the nuclear family structure. From a deep level, you know, when we have this nuclear family structure, or not, in some cases not even, boys will tend to look to, really unconsciously, look towards their fathers to really hold the entire adult masculine world. Like, their definition of man is dad, because that's the only, in most cases, many cases, the only deep relationship that they have. And of course, you know, there's a whole wide variety of some very functional, some very dysfunctional, and everything in between in our world today. And what the old cultures knew is that no, that's too much for any one man. It's just impossible. Like, we need a whole plethora of real serious role models, right? That's the old adage, it takes a village to raise a child. Boys need many different examples of what it means to be a healthy man, so they can identify the best concept. Oh, Josh is so good with humor, and he's so good about making light of the moment. That's a quality I want for myself, and I can get from Josh, you know? Or, and then they look to someone else, and they've got a different quality that they draw from, and somebody else, and they've got a different quality, right? But in our nuclear structure, they don't get that. And it's just like that for us as married, you know, I mean, I've been married for 12 years, my wife Janine, and, you know, if this is going to work, I've got to have other people who I depend on emotionally besides Janine, right? Like, that doesn't work for me to only have Janine to depend on emotionally. So I have my men's group, and I got friends like Josh and others that I really reach out to and open up to. And as I do that, oh, yeah, it takes the burden off. I still go to Janine, but she's not my only source of emotional support. So we all kind of know these things, but this work is about opening it up and really creating that positive possible vision for our young people, right? To give them that much broader sense of deep community. And it's like the metaphor of a forest. You know, if you just have a monoculture of, say, one species of tree, and like, say you've got white pine, you've got a monoculture, a forest of only white pine, western white pine, and then white pine blister rust comes in, right? It's going to have a massive impact on that forest. And thus, I mean, maybe 60, 70% of the trees are going to be taken out. And all the birds and all the animals and all the insects and on plants and on it goes will be impacted. But if you have a diverse forest of 20 different species of, you know, cascara and larch and cedar and pine and spruce and fir and on and on and on, that same pine blister rust comes in, what's the overall impact? Okay, the pines take a hit, but the other 80% of the forest is fine. So there's that strength in that diversity. And that's what we're offering here. We're offering that diversity to your sons. And then, of course, you know, high school. I mean, oh, my God. And adolescence, they go through so much change. I don't know if you can remember what that was like. I do, you know. I totally still remember how the awkwardness and zits and puberty and, you know, romantic feelings coming in for the first time, all this stuff. And it's like the need for support, if anything, just increases. And yet, especially for boys in our culture, it's not cool. You know, it's not cool to reach out emotionally. And there's this social norm that you should not do that. And in many instances, you're punished by your peers, made fun of or something. And it's like, whoa, what is going on? And then we have all these issues. And we wonder, oh, why? You know, why does this happen? Well, from that perspective, it's pretty obvious. You know, there's some deep needs not getting met. So I could go on and on like this, but I want to bring it back to some more details here. So It's good to look at how we recognize specifically that boys are ready for this transition, because there really is something significant to this idea of readiness. I'm a big believer that there is a window that opens, developmentally speaking, and that there's a time when the boys are in that window, and the window does close, and then they've moved out. Sometimes the window is narrower, sometimes wider. My experience is that generally it's around the end of eighth grade, give or take a year or two, sometimes more, sometimes even by 2 years, forward or back, it can change. But generally speaking, that end of eighth grade tends to be a really good time, right when puberty is first setting in their bodies, and when they're going through that. That also does correlate well with the transition from grade school to high school. That actually can support the rite of passage if done at that time. So oftentimes I do like to have them go through at that point. But yeah, other points. So puberty is setting in. A genuine, deeper level of self-awareness is beginning to express itself. And that, of course, starts internally and may or may not be expressed externally. But there's ways we can look into that. They tend to start to individuate more, right? So they're more interested in stretching out and away from the core family unit. Their social scene becomes more important to them. Pushback and resistance to parents, oftentimes just that alone is a great indicator that they're ready. Of course, being interested in romantic relationships. We talked about individuating a little bit. And yeah, just figuring out, like, who is he? When they start to figure out their personal interest apart from the family, you know, all very good signs that they're, and testing boundaries goes right along with that. Of course, not always comfortable and easy to deal with as a parent, but all classic signs that they're ready. And on the other side, what does it look like when they're not ready? You know, might be them having a solid foot still in, like, the play fantasy world, right? Still playing with Legos. Now, again, give or take, right? There's plenty of 16-year-olds still doing Legos. But I think you know what I'm saying there. Really.
Lego robotics.
Yeah, Lego robotics. Or his peer group being 1 or 2 years younger than him. Oftentimes that's a good indicator, looking at who's he hanging out with. If he's hanging out with, you know, if he's in like eighth grade, hanging out with fifth, sixth graders, you know, that might be a good sign that he's not ready. Or still really attached to parents and especially mom in an emotional sense. Or even, and oftentimes moms will get this, but dads too. Oftentimes if you as the parent have a hunch that his emotions or trust would suffer from this experience, that, of course, can also be a sign that he may not be ready.
Tim, how long is this window open? I mean,
well, like I said, I mean, it's there's no hard and fast rules. My experience is, generally speaking, on average, you know, the optimal window might just be a year or two, you know, probably 2 years, you know. And then, again, we can make it happen maybe a little early or a little late. It's not, in my experience, it's not as effective. And then you know, beyond that, there's not much point. So, like, you know, I put on there, this is for 13 to 16-year-olds. And 16 is really pushing it, to be honest. I mean, 13, 14, I would say, is pretty ideal, generally speaking. Sometimes we have a 12-year-old come in. Pretty rare. We have a fair bit of 14, 15-year-olds who do it. I'd rather do it a little late than a little early. And then 16 is pretty rare. I've done maybe one or two 16-year-olds. And beyond that, I, you know, at 17, they're probably much closer to the transition into adulthood than they are, you know, childhood to adolescence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Tim, would you have a sense of how you could tell if they were, like, Elijah, I feel like, might be pushing the old end, because he's 15, but he turns 16 probably a couple weeks after your rite of passage. What does, like, too old look like? Because the funny thing, when you're describing those characteristics, some of them I feel like totally match him, but...
Yeah, I mean, too old would look like, I mean, any of the classic signs of truly entering adulthood, right? So if he is seriously considering what is my life going to be like when I leave home, you know, whether that's college or considering his career, or, you know, any number of different indicators that, you know, that they're leaving adolescence. So when the hormones balance out, you know, physical and a biological level, as hormones balance out when we enter into adulthood, there's a certain stability, there's a certain lack of stability that comes with adolescence that's inherent, and a certain stability that begins to come on board, you know, as we come into it, as we come into adulthood. So, you know, one of my callings, actually, my growing edge is going to be to be offering rites of passage for men for 18 to 24-year-olds. And that's how I'll do that. That's what that window will be. It'll be 18 to 24, marking leaving behind of adolescence and entering into adulthood.
Maggie's listening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Maggie, here we go. Yeah. So, you know, and again, I mean, a lot of people talk about our, oh, God, you know, I know 35-year-olds who still live with mom, and they're more like a 15-year-old than they are an adult, you know. And, or the commentary that our culture is stuck in adolescence, you know. All that's really common. But generally speaking, yeah, I think that 13 to 15, 16 window, and then maybe 18 to 24 for the next one.
Tim, this is Sally, I think I'd like to maybe continue a little bit of this conversation outside of this call.
Sure.
But maybe to other people whose children might be on the younger side, something that could be beneficial in a broader sense, maybe to touch on is, I'm afraid of missing the window. I'm afraid of what another year without him getting some guidance to tap into this is going to look like. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid of, you know, what's happening in middle school and with his peers and everything that he's going through emotionally and what it looks like for him not to have this deeper ability to feel support.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think there's some more conversation we could have regarding Clover's specific readiness, but being just with the child on the younger side, I'd be interested to hear from Noah's family, why they decided to wait a year too, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and you know, the need is so great. I mean, God, I have this vision of every eighth grader out there having this, right? And like schools understanding and supporting it and say, yes, it's fine. Go take them for 2 weeks. You know, this is right and good. We don't have that, of course. but so the need is so great for this work in general, and our culture in many ways is so starved. It can be easy to look at this and be like, oh, gosh, you know, I want to make sure I catch this in time. But it is important to look into the internal world of the boys as well and really ask that question for them, developmentally speaking. You know, are they really at that? And, I mean, a big one really is puberty. Like, if I was to name, like, a perfect window, I would say just as puberty is starting to go in, like, the first month of the zits on the face, maybe, you know. Wow, that would be ideal if I could do that. I mean, life is such, I can't. But if I was going to go for it and I was going to name one thing, when puberty first sets in, boy, that is, because we're connected, you know, our bodies, our hearts, our minds, our spirits, it's all connected. So when that body is demonstrating that, that's a pretty sure sign. You know, that's a pretty sure sign. So, and anyway, yeah, I do want to say, happy to talk to anybody, any and everybody about this offline. I do think we should move forward just in the interest of time here, though. Okay, so great conversation here. So we kind of spoke about it. I mean, lots of examples out there in the world of what happens when rites of passage don't happen. You know, from a mythological perspective, we could say that a part of their spirit or part of their psyche gets stuck in that old phase and continues to cycle through that. In many traditional cultures, you know, they refer to that as uninitiated behavior. They have a, they look at behavior in terms of whether it's initiated behavior or uninitiated behavior. And that's a good teaching there, because so much of the rite of passage is about, the result of it eventually is about conduct, how they conduct themselves. And we see such a great difference. You know, the story of the one young man who went through it and had just a real successful experience. Now, several years later, wow, his conduct is so different than the average 15, 16-year-old out there. And the old African proverb, right, if we don't initiate the boys, they will burn down the village.
Mm. Wow.
If we don't initiate the boys, they will burn down the village. That's a classic proverb. And look at our world. It doesn't take long. And all the school shootings and the suicides and the crazy stuff that's happening in high schools and adolescent kids, right there, you know, I mean, and I'm not saying that's the only factor, but gosh,
that's a big one.
And then, of course, it kind of goes full circle back to what we were talking about earlier, and Sally, I believe you were talking to, is, you know, what's the risk of not doing a rite of passage? You know, part of the risk is them not connecting with their essential self. And that, what does that mean? That sounds kind of mysterious and vague. Well, you know, to put it more clearly, them not connecting with an authentic sense of purpose, meaning, and fulfillment in life. When we're connected with ourselves and when we've been nourished properly, you know, there's lots of studies on purpose these days. And in fact, I'm actually starting a whole new consulting business on purpose, in addition to everything else I've got going on, if I didn't have enough going on. But a lot of focus right now on purpose, and organizations are looking at purpose, and individuals are looking at purpose. And there's tons of studies, mainstream studies, that demonstrate, you know, when individuals have a strong sense of purpose, meaning, fulfillment, that they are healthier, with better relationships, they perform better at work, it impacts every area of our life. And for me, it's very clear that that journey begins right at the age of about 13, when they're awakening, you know, when self-awareness is first blossoming. And then we can meet that as adults. Give them something to bite into. Yes, it's okay to pause and stare at a fire for, you know, 6 hours and ask the question, who am I? And be supported and listen to others talk about their journey and support them in figuring out who they are and be surrounded by adult men who have asked that question and are living that life themselves. You know, yes, we can cultivate that. So that's a big one for me, and I've deeply treasure meaning and fulfillment and purpose in life, vision in life, and no question that the rites of passage are a key ingredient in awakening that in human beings in general. Of course, you know, in the ideal scene, they would have a rite of passage at, you know, puberty, and then at 18, 19, 20, 21, when they're launching, they go through a big one, and that's the 4-day vision quest, and when they're even on a deeper level asking that question, who am I? What are my gifts? Why am I here? Connecting with that sense of purpose. Okay, well, gosh, there's so much to share, and we are actually down to just about 10 minutes. Well, let's pause here. Any questions that we want to touch on before we shift gears and look at details? And this might be a good moment, actually, Maggie, I don't know if you're up for this.
Sure.
Would love to hear from you just a little bit, having your son, Benno, gone through the rite of passage 5 years ago now. Any perspective you might share as to, you know, the value of this experience and just, you know, contributing to our conversation here tonight?
Well, yeah, first of all, I did want to speak to the question of, you know, Benno was 13 when he did it, and he's kind of, he was a young 13, and pretty young 13, and so we struggled some with that question of is he too young or not. And he also, by the way, has a anxiety disorder, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to send my son out into the cold forest alone. And he has, like, this anxiety disorder, and, you know, I was like, oh, God, he's, you know. But anyway, so I think my husband and I felt like we felt like we couldn't take that chance of waiting for a year. I mean, here it all was right here for us, and it just seemed like I just didn't feel like I could quite trust that it was going to be there in a year. I mean, that was just our case, right? That doesn't mean it's like that for everybody.
That resonates with me.
Pardon?
Yeah.
It resonates with me.
Yeah. So a piece of that, so some of the things I've noticed about Benno is that, you know, you can't tell exactly how he would have been if he hadn't done it, but there was a lot of, you know, snarly behavior around that time and stuff. And by doing the rite of passage, that diminished quite a lot. I mean, and it taught us, you know, and as he's gone through the years, he is a person who does step up to challenges. You know, he'll say, well, I don't want to do this, but I know it was going to be good for me, so I'm going to go ahead and do it. I think that the communication in our family is probably better than with his peers, by and large. As parents, I think that going through that, I mean, you know, because you do let go of your boy, and so doing that, I think, taught us as parents how to let go of him, and that was, you know, that was great. That was a big learning. Let's see. I wrote all these notes, and I can't read them.
Must mean you felt passionately.
Yeah. So it's not like, you know, and high school has not been easy for him. Like this last couple of years has been difficult. You know, all of this stuff, you know, he's had two people in his circle, not super close, but there were two kids within his circle who took their lives. And so it's, you know, there's a lot of stuff that happens. And I feel like, the rite of passage has helped him, you know, kind of come back to center.
Yeah.
I don't think, now, you know, like I said, he was pretty young when he did it, and so there were pieces of it that were hard for him to grasp, and so I feel kind of like they are, let's see, I feel like it's sort of an intuitive piece that, sort of an intuitive way of moving through the world that he carries with him. And he may not say, oh, that's because of the rite of passage, but there's a piece, there's a strength that's there.
Yeah, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, thank you, Maggie. We are going to need to move on just in the interest of time. I know there's more to share, so I apologize for cutting you off, but I do want to honor our time here tonight.
Okay.
Really appreciate everything you're offering, and thank you for sharing that. Great. So I'm anticipating we're going to go. We are going to go a few minutes past our agreed upon time of 8:30. If you need to jump off, that's okay. You can catch the recording, but I do want to cover these details here. So,
we'd like to say a few things before.
Absolutely. Could I have you share at the end? I was thinking, Ken, as a closing piece. Would that be good?
All right, I'll go on and on.
Okay, great. So one of the big questions that and points of interest is always the fact that, yes, I am asking the boys to miss 2 days of school. That is a conscious choice. We have run this rite of passage for years, and in the early years we ran it just as an extended weekend, and they would miss 1 day of school. And we really found that was not enough time. So it's a five-day experience, a Wednesday night to a Sunday evening, and we've really found that it takes that much time to craft a quality experience. The short response really is that it's a sacrifice that I believe is worth making, and I recognize that it's a sacrifice. I recognize school is full. They have important projects, sometimes trips. I recognize that will impact you as mom and dad. I recognize it'll impact them. It'll impact their schools. But I offer this and invite you to consider this as a worthwhile sacrifice. So there's more to say, but I'm going to leave it there. This will be facilitated, of course, by myself and Josh, and we're going to have other male assistants who are a part of the Twin Eagles culture. And we do keep the location secret until it happens, so we will let you know where it's happening, but we keep that quiet to add to that element of mystery. It is important to acknowledge that I have a belief system going here that I believe, and I'm biased towards, and I'll acknowledge that a authentic rite of passage cannot be facilitated by parents, because by definition, the individual is moving from the state of dependence on parents into the state of independence upon themselves, ultimately so that they can reach interdependence. But that middle phase of independence is an important phase, and they can't experience independence fully in your presence as parents. So some people don't buy that. Some people, I've had moms insist that they were going to take their sons through a rite of passage. I've got all kinds of stories about how that panned out, not so well. But in this scenario, and this is a traditional perspective, this is how the old cultures all did it, the parents represent that very state of dependence, so the boys have to separate from the known, separate from mom and dad, separate from family, in order to experience that authentic state of independence and that rite of passage. So your involvement, though, is very important. And what that looks like is, here on this call, we do a whole second meeting where we meet with moms and dads on what does it mean for you to let go of your son, the boy, so that you can make space for your son, the young man. And we differentiate your needs, your concerns, versus their needs. Their concerns are a very healthy thing to do and supports the process. We ask you to identify family values in a written form. We ask you to actually write them a letter describing their life journey thus far. I mentioned that earlier. We ask you to be able to consciously release them so they can experience this. And we have a whole parent separation ceremony at the beginning of the rite of passage. And then, conversely, a parent reunification ceremony at the end at the location. So ideally, yes, all parents are present. But the modern world, what it is, I don't require that. If you can swing it by any, it is definitely preferable and will have a significant impact. It's there are emotional experiences, profound, deep experiences. So it behooves him and you for you to be present at both the drop-off and the pickup. And it's again, unlike our summer camps or other programs, there's a rich personal experience that they're going through that you're a big part of. And then to support him to host a giveaway at the end of the experience, which I mentioned earlier and I'll share more about later. Okay, so last couple points here. What the rite of passage is not, is it is not a cure-all for every problem your son has. It's not an instant fix. The deepest changes will be the most subtle. And yes, sometimes we have significant external change that expresses itself immediately, like Maggie reported with Benno. Honestly, my experience is more often than not we don't, and the biggest changes come over time. So it's kind of like planting a seed. Actually, that said, I think more and more over the recent years we have seen more immediate external changes as we've matured our process. But ultimately, this is about a long-term investment. Long-term investment. Okay, and then I want to mention, too, what the invitation to the boys looks like. So we ask you not to tell them. And we ask you to support us, if you choose into this, to be the ones to communicate initially with them about it. And so the process looks like we have this discussion, you consider it. If you're like, yes, I want to do this, I want to do this in partnership with Tim and Josh, then you agree with us and we're both a thumbs up. The next step would be, you know, signing up. And then I send them a letter in the mail, like a physical letter. And it's a calling. I don't ask. It's not an invitation. It is a direction. It is saying, I tell them, there's a rite of passage. You'll be coming to this. Begin preparations. It's mysterious and mystical, and so why? So that's pretty, you know, intense, right? It's like very direct, and why is that? Well, the reason we choose that way is because it's the best metaphor for life. Adolescence will happen to them whether they like it or not. Whether they choose it or not, they will have to face adolescence. Whether they choose it or not, whether they're invited or not, they will have to face challenges in their life. So I craft this in a way to model that and to mirror that. And that can be uncomfortable sometimes, but the fact is that we all have those times in our lives where we have to face challenges, I'm sure. I mean, I had like 10 of those this week already. Raising kids, like, I don't get to choose. You know, we don't always get to choose. My belief is, and you know, I'm biased, I admit it, but we live in this world where there's this consumeristic society that's patterning us over and over on choice, and then the challenges come, and we break down, and it's so hard, you know, and we wonder why is it so hard, you know. But, and so this is why I would offer this to you, like, you know, the choice you made for them when they were going into kindergarten or grade school. You didn't ask them, most likely. You made a choice. You saw that there was a need. They're going to need these skills. So, yeah, they're going to go to school. That's how I'm offering to frame this. And I'd ask you to at least consider that. If you really feel like that won't work, talk to me. But by and large, we've found this to be very effective. In the end, am I going to force them? Am I asking you to force them? No. I won't drag them in kicking and screaming. I won't. In the end, they're going to choose to, you know, get out of the car and do it or not. So there ultimately is their choice, sure. You know, we could look back to the old cultures, and there's lots of stories, actually, of it wasn't like that. They would literally come and kidnap the boys one late night, you know, and moms would be screaming, sometimes as a kind of a show and sometimes not. But there's all kinds of intense old stories about that. And so, but what's the kernel of truth in that, you know? The kernel of truth is, yes, that's an authentic mirror for real life. And so, and again, this is about preparing them for those challenges that they'll face. So yeah, there's something very powerful about that. Okay. So last few details here, and then we're going to hear from Ken and have some final Q&A and wrap things up. So specifically, what does this involve? For you all as parents, it involves being present at this meeting, being present at a second meeting that's just for you, where we discuss what does it mean for you to release your son, the boy. Janine leads the moms, and my wife Janine does, and I lead a process with the dads. Those are conference calls that we schedule. I'll be taking no more than 10, 12 boys. In total, typical years, we're closer to about a half dozen. This year, we have a fair bit of interest, so that's where we're at. There'll be the five-day experience. That does include a solo. It does include a sweat lodge. But there are elements that will be confidential. And there's nothing huge, but that, too, is a practice for stepping into manhood, first young manhood and then manhood, right? That if we're going to ask them to uphold these new behaviors and this new conduct, that, yeah, they get to have their times, too, that are just theirs, that are sacred. And so some of the experiences we'll hold in confidentiality. But, of course, the big impact is to share with you and with the community. There is that community giveaway, and I want to be clear that I do ask everyone to really get on board with that. And, again, that's a time where your son leads a process of bringing people together, family and friends, community members that are important to him, prepares a meal and gifts. And there's a lot of guidance in this. But we do ask you to support that. Not do it for them, but to support it. And that's one, honestly, it's one of the biggest stretches. I probably get the most resistance on that one element, and it's the one thing that I consistently get the most comments of, wow, that was the most impactful element about this experience for me. Financially, again, I really see this differently than most than programs, and I don't really consider it a program, but this is our time and our energy. So I offer this at a sliding scale of $500 to $700, and that said, I'm willing to work with families. So if I was to put a single number, yeah, it'd be about $600. I just lost somebody there. Hopefully that money didn't, the figures didn't scare them away. So if I was to put a single number on it, I'd say 600. If you can do more, that's helpful. Some families will come in less. And all at the end of the day, I'm not willing to turn anyone away for financial reasons. So I've run this in years past where it went into the red, where we just really took a loss financially. I'd certainly rather not do that, but in the big picture of my year, I can hack that with this one experience. So all that said, you know, please pay a good amount if at all possible to have it be a good, fair exchange. But, yeah, at the end of the day, I'm not willing to turn people down for financial reasons because it's that important to me. And it's just a small group. You know, I'm just inviting 12 families this year, so it's not like this is 300 summer campers or something. Okay, so next steps would be this about wraps it up. We'll do Q&A in a second. Just want to be clear. So next steps would be in direct communication with myself. My preference is to be in direct communication with both parents, if at all possible. Zachary, really appreciate it. If you're still on the line, really appreciate you being here tonight. I don't think we've connected before. Great. Awesome. Yeah, even if it's just a quick touching base, I like to have some kind of personal connection with all the parents so that I just can get a sense, okay, we're on board, we're in this together. That could be a quick phone call, doesn't have to be anything big. If you've got questions, you know, about your individual scenario, we can certainly talk. And then it's you making the choice and signing up. I've got an online registration with the various price levels there. Once that happens, then the next step is I send the letter to your son. I'll let you know when that happens, and then you and him at that point can start discussing things. And then I have a separate welcome letter for you to give you proper orientation. We'll do our second parent meeting that I spoke about, and then the rite of passage itself is May 16th to the 20th. It's a Wednesday night to Sunday afternoon. We typically have one more conference call afterwards to help prepare for the giveaway, and then they conduct the giveaways in the, usually in the summer months. Maybe
how long do they have to do the giveaway, Tim?
Officially, they could wait as, you know, I really strongly encourage them to do it in the summertime, you know, before school starts back up. That said, I have had some do it later, as late as the fall, and it's worked. Optimal timing, though, would be in the summer.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so we're 10, 12 minutes past here. Thanks for your patience tonight. Let's see, any other questions at this point?
Yeah, Tim, I just had a couple things I know that Zachary's been asking me, and I want to, if we can quickly provide clarification. Just in talking with other friends in other parts of the states from other programs and their experiences with different rites of passage, is there, like, fasting involved? And just real briefly, like, what do you mean by solo?
Yeah, sure. So they do go out on an overnight solo, and that's, you know, in held in a safe container. They're going out. They put up a shelter and have their experience. Depending on the year, they might miss a meal at most two. But it's not a heavy duty multiple day fast or anything. And then the other significant element that I mentioned before is we typically will have a sweat lodge experience, and which is always a powerful part of the process as well.
Thank you for that. I know we have more questions. We can be in touch and clarify a little more. I just wanted a little bit there.
Of course. Yeah, thanks for asking. Okay, any other questions? All right, well, let's open the space up for Ken. And Ken, I'd just like to give you the opportunity for some closing words here to wrap us up and to share from your perspective. You have a unique perspective, and you hold a unique and very special role for us. So yeah, I would love to hear from you.
Well, thanks, Tim. And I really feel you know, you've given me a big honor here to be the last to talk to these people. And I really hope I can do a good job, because this is a really important thing that you're doing. You know, I was thinking, well, first of all, I was thinking of what you said about, ancient people and earth-based people, and how they do this ritual, and how they take the boys away from the parents, and usually the parents make a big fuss, and they scream, and they cry, and it's usually a farce. But the boys believe it, and they take them away. Not only do they take them away, but that's, you know, it's like they are making what's happening to the boys inside actually happen to them on the outside, taking them away from their parents for a period. And they not only do that, but they usually do something physical. Sometimes they knock a tooth out of the boy's mouth, or they scar his chest. And I promise you that Tim and Josh are not going to...
We will knock any teeth out. There'll be no scars on your boy's body. So.
No. you know, some things, you know, is better left, you know, in the past. But I was trying to think, you know, well, Tim chose me, and I'm an elder, and why did he choose me? Well, maybe I can think back on my life and think about passages that I've gone through and you know, share that with you. And I thought all the way back. As a matter of fact, I'm writing my memoirs right now, so this is pretty fresh in my mind. And I was thinking all the way back to when I was 13 years old. I am Jewish, and I had a bar mitzvah. And it was a big deal, you know? I mean, I had to learn a foreign language, and I had to sing it. And if anyone's heard me sing, that's a real challenge. And I had to have a tutor, you know, and he beat it into me with a ruler. But it was a big deal. I went to my grandfather's shul, and my brother-in-law was standing shoulder to shoulder with me. He had just come back from Major Friedman had just come back from the war, World War II, in France, and I was, you know, being looked up to, and my grandfather was so proud of me, and that was a big deal too. But it's not the same thing as this kind of ritual. So I was thinking further, and I realized that the next year I had gone to Boy Scout camp. I was a big city kid, brought up in Brooklyn, and here I was in the woods. And one of the things I had to do was a solo hike, an all-day hike. And when I started out, I was frightened. I had never done anything like this. I had never been in the forest. I was afraid of getting lost. By the end of the day, when I found my way back to the camp, it was such a high that I dove into a lake and went swimming. And I didn't want to go back to camp. You know, it was over too quick. Yeah. And then I thought to myself, well, you know, when I reached a certain age, I felt like I didn't know, you know, what it was to transition from an adult to an elder, you know, to slow down and to change. And then I took a ritual called eldering, conscious eldering, with a group of other people around my age. And when I told my friend, who's about my age, what I was going to do, that I was going to take this seminar on conscious eldering, she looked at me and she said, I don't want conscious eldering. I want unconscious eldering. But that wasn't for me. You know, I wanted to know what I was getting into. And this was one of the most powerful experiences in my life, to be there with these other people and to deal with all of these issues that you don't know about yet, but hopefully you'll find out. Anyway, I think that your children are going to get a gift. Tim runs a father-son weekend sometimes, and I wanted my grandson, who's Roy, who's 10 years old, to take that, as he's living all the way back in Maryland, 2,000 miles away. Anyway, it didn't work out. You know, it didn't happen. But I just wanted to explain to you that I was willing to give my grandson to Tim and to Josh for a weekend, and I trusted them that much. My sons, not so much, you know, but you will find out one day, hopefully, when you have grandchildren, that you don't trust anyone with them. But I've seen Tim, I've worked with him, I have worked with Josh, and I would trust them with my grandson. So, you know, that's all you need to know.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, looking back through my own life, I was saying that there have been times my life, like in, I'm sure, everyone's life, in which you felt like you were, I felt like I was wandering through a desert, through a wilderness, you know, and I didn't know east, west, south, or north. I was that lost. It's great to be able to look back on some of these passages that you've done from one phase to the other and know that you lived through it. You might be scared, but you know that you can handle it. That's one of the gifts, I think, that you would get from this.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ken.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ken.
People are lucky. Hope you take advantage of it.
Beautiful. Well, I really appreciate those words. And yeah, a big thank you to everyone. Thanks for your time tonight. Thanks for hanging on. I know we're past time. Really appreciate your patience here. And yeah, please be in touch if you're interested. Please be in touch either way, but by all means, be in touch if you're interested and looking at some next steps. And I hope you all have a great, great evening.
Hey, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
You too.
And Josh, it's great hearing from you.
Yeah, you too, Ken. Nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, take care.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Thank you all. All of you
good night.
Very much. Paul, thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Yeah.
Good night.
Good night.
Hello? Hello?